Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Scadden coming back to you live from chilly North Carolina. And today is another intense day of standing and praying on the wall as we pray for the Office of the President to have wisdom in these perilous times that we are now entering into. And I want to remind, more so for myself, for us to check our emotions at the door, because what is happening in the world right now could have easily been prevented, but we're here. We have to learn how to walk through this, and being of a sober mind and being at peace. And where I find my peace is in the presence of the Lord. What has helped so much is getting into those times and seasons and the flow of how the Lord operates, being in that relationship with Him. And as we continue to get back into the timing of the Lord throughout our day, again, want to focus in on the scripture before we dive into the news, and want to start today in Joshua 3, verse 1, where the Israelites are about to get to a point of crossing over the Jordan and entering into the land that the Lord has promised them. And we see here in scripture, the first verse says, "Then Joshua arose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shechem and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed." And they're preparing for what the Lord is about to do, of sending the Levites and the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant to stand on the Jordan to dry the ground so that they can walk across as they enter into the new land to new battles ahead of them. And the prayer point that Chuck Pierce points out in his Reordering the Day book is this, is ask the Lord to prepare you to cross over into all that He has promised you. And if we look at the scripture in Joshua, it's not just a promise of sunshine, rainbow, and butterflies. It's a time to cross over and enter into a season of taking ground, taking back the promises that the Lord has for them in that time, so that they can take the land that the Lord has promised, so they can fulfill the promises that the Lord has. And if we look at the events of the world right now, that's similar to where we're at, where we've begun a new season in life. And that's why today I scheduled, titled it Preparing for the New, is because we have to prepare ourselves of, it's not going to be like the past. It's not going to be as laid back as it once was. It's a season of, we're going to have to be more intentional with our relationships with each other, with the Lord, so that we can stay focused and have the peace through this dark season that is upon us right now. And the only place to find that is through the Lord and in the presence of the Lord. And the best way to do that is to get in right timing and the flow of the Lord, and being obedient to what He would call us to do now and in the season ahead. So as we enter into this new, let's walk with that peace, that soberness to guide us into the times and the relationships that we are in. Okay, I kind of want to give a roundup of what's happened in the last several hours. Not too much news stuff has happened as much as yesterday. Now that we understand, okay, what's going on, the battles that are happening, it's happening from everywhere, north, south, east, and west for Ukraine. And it took the entire world by shock that Russia would go to those lengths. Now, as we speak, what is being reported is that there are Russian forces that have closed in within 20 miles of Kiev. And the president, Zelensky, of Ukraine is still in Kiev. He has been deemed target number one of Russian forces, and then his family is target number two to kill him, as Russian President Vladimir Putin has said he wants to decapitate the government of Ukraine. And I want to play a clip from President Zelensky. He's speaking in Ukrainian, so it's translated, but there are subtitles there. And I want us to play this because this is very important to see where his head is at, where he's at. He points out some things that I think are very important to understand his mindset and the mindset of the government and the people of Ukraine. So let me play this. And there are black screens because it cuts from scene to scene. And that's just a video. There's nothing wrong.
За попередніми даними, на жаль, ми втратили за сьогодні вже 137 наших героїв.
So they lost 137 громадян. People.
З них 10 офіцерів.
There are 316 injuries.
316. Знаю, що вкидають зараз дуже багато.
And he's pointing this out because the Russian media would like it to be that, oh, he's left, he's abandoned your people. Because they're trying to paint this picture that the Ukrainian government is oppressive, that they're hurting the people. And that's just not true. And so he says, I'm here, дуже багато haven't left.
Зокрема, і про те, що нібито я поїхав з Києва.
He's still in the capital of Kiev.
Залишаю своїм народом. За наявною у нас інформацією, ворог позначив
Again, this is where he says they've listed him as target number one and his family is number two.
Як ціль номер два. Вони хочуть знищити Україну політично, знищивши
главу держави. They want to destroy the country politically, terminating the head of the state,
him. Сьогодні ми чули з Москви, що вони таки хочуть говорити про нейтральний статус України.
Basically, again, Russia doesn't want Ukraine joining NATO because they want to be able to have an influence. I'll get to that here in a second.
Я кажу усім партнерам нашої держави.
He's calling on their partners to stand up to help with the fate of their state.
Я запитую їх.
Are you with us? They answered that they are, but they are not ready to take us into the alliance. Talking about NATO, he really wants to be in NATO because he wants their support.
Ми не боїмось говорити з Росією.
But at the end of the day, we're not afraid to talk about security guarantees for our country, not afraid to talk about the neutral status.
Не боїмось говорити про нейтральний статус. Ми ж зараз не в НАТО.
But what will be our security guarantees? He's trying to start the argument of what's it going to take for us to join NATO?
Які
конкретно? What countries will provide security guarantees?
Нам їх дадуть. Розмовляти
And then he goes on to talk about the end of the invasion. What's next? What about a ceasefire? What about ending this? What about resolving this conflict with Russia? Because he's pointed out, he's called out Vladimir Putin saying, hey, let's talk. Let's go here. Let's have this discussion. And President Putin does not. And he's saying, look, we're being left alone. All the world powers that be, they say they support us, but where's the help? Where are you coming to actually provide the security that you say is coming? Okay, and then that's the end of that video. And so we're seeing this from the world powers that be, that all this is happening. It's interesting to see that he and his family's life is at risk. He kind of calls out President Biden says, hey, you've left us alone. What's going on? What's NATO? Where's NATO involved in all of this? Another interesting fact is it's being reported that, oh, these are military strikes, but Ukrainian officials are now coming out and saying, no, they're not. They're not differentiating between military and civilian strikes. They're also attacking hospitals where people can get healed and just innocent people are dying from this. That's a strategy in war, unfortunately. So this is all part of what's going on here with Russia. And I'm trying to make sure I have covered. Okay, so this is what's coming out from one side of the news, that Russia is attacking, they're advancing, not really talking about anything coming from the Ukrainian side, how they're doing. But There was a report this morning that came out from British sources that their defense secretary, Ben Wallace, came out and said this. I think this is very important to realize. I talked about yesterday, if you watch at noon prayer, how Marco Rubio, and the reason I pull him out and say him is because he is part of the intelligence committee, one of the ranking members. He has a pulse. I've come to understand his policies and his knowledge with living in South Florida. He was not my senator, but he understood him enough to understand what his strengths are. And international security risks and assessments are his strength. And when he says Russia's point is within the next 72 hours to do three things, and the news coming out of Britain is that they're struggling to hit those 3 points, is very interesting, to say the least. So I want to play this clip and hear what he says, because he paints a picture of what's actually going on the ground, even though despite CNN, Fox News, they're supposedly there. They're only talking about incidents that they see. They're not gathering all the information, and the British forces and their people have gathered information. But this, listen to this interview. This is very, very important.
It's definitely our view that the Russians intend to invade the whole of Ukraine. The nonsense they were spouting about the Donbass, and it were, you know, as ever, with a whole series of dishonest claims on.
Yeah, he calls out the claims. Oh, we're just doing this as peacekeeping mission, which took the world by surprise. You know, people did think, everyone thought, we here thought, oh, they're just going to take these regions, and they just full sail assaulted.
Not Ukraine. The case, and that's why you've seen a number of columns of Russian army entering the city from the south, from the north, from Belarus, even, and indeed from the separatist region, but. You know, our assessment as of this morning is that Russia has not taken any of its major objectives. In fact, it is behind its hoped-for timetable. They've lost over 450 personnel.
And you're not hearing that anywhere. And obviously, it's early morning. This is just coming out. So if this is accurate, even if it's not fully accurate, around 450 people, that troops that Russian forces have lost in this, it's pretty significant compared to the 137 that Vladimir Zelensky, president of Ukraine, is reporting. And what he's pointing out here is very important, is to say that, oh, Russia's advancing. But if they're not able to take the strategic points that they need, that they want to fully, then they're losing in the battle. And this adds up in Putin's mind of, is this worth it? Will he be demonized or just full-fledged be like Stalin and just send his people to death slaughters? I don't know. We'll see. I don't think the world really knows, because they haven't seen war from Russia like this in a while.
And indeed, as you've said on your report, one of the significant airports they were trying to capture with their elite Spetsnaz.
This is huge right here.
Has failed to be taken. And in fact, the Ukrainians have taken it back.
So what happened is one of the airports that Russia wanted to use to be able to be a strategic launching point to send more troops in. Ukraine has taken it back. Now, will Russia try to regain it? We'll see. Will the Ukrainians be able to hold them off? Again, we'll see. That's what we want to pray for.
So I think, contrary to great Russian claims, and indeed President Putin's sort of vision that somehow the Ukrainians would be liberated and would be flocking to his cause, he's got that completely wrong.
And that's huge, because Putin's painting this picture that we're going to free you from the oppression of the Ukrainian government. And what he's being met with is the fact that there are Ukrainians fighting back against the Russians. And to his surprise is what is being reported, whether that's true or not, yet to be seen. And probably will never really fully know, but it is, they're being met with a force that I think they were a little bit unprepared for.
The Russian army has failed to deliver on day one its main objective.
And that's huge. If they fail on day one to meet its objective, does it set behind? Now, are they going to be resolute and continue to go forward in trying to take these strategic objectives? Like that's what we're here praying for, to see what will happen now and in the days ahead. And what we're also finding, and I think this is important, it's not being talked about, is that on the coast of Odessa, you're seeing Turkey has reported that one of his ships have been hit by a bomb in the Odessa coast, off the coast of Odessa, where fighting is also going on. And knowing that Turkey is a member of NATO, and ultimately this might underline the fears that the war in Ukraine could quickly suck in other nations, states, and spark an all-out conflict in Europe. And the reason that this is important and we need to pay attention to this is because NATO is meeting on Article 4, basically, hey, let's gather, let's assess. If they go to Article, if they meet for Article 5, it's going to talk about intervention. All the reports from other world leaders, even our president, have been saying, we're going to support NATO, NATO, NATO. It's all about NATO, all about whether Ukraine should or should not join NATO, whether I think Finland's now coming out saying, well, we want to reassess. We might want to join NATO to protect against Russia if Russia's going to continue to advance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if Turkey gets involved, that's from the other side. They're directly tied with Russia as they share portions of a border, and very close relations with Ukraine as well. So they could insert themselves there. Would that be a good thing, a bad thing? Yet to be determined. But this is the full breadth of the situation at a high level. And so pray for wisdom for everybody involved here. And might this be a good thing? We'll see. Again, overnight, we're seeing bombings hit Ukraine, Kiev. And again, you're only seeing one side of the footage. So now we're starting to see both sides with this report from Britain. As if you saw our pipeline this morning, we had a video of an explosion over the skies of Kiev, which came to be confirmed as a Russian aircraft being down. That was confirmed by military officials in Ukraine that's what happened. So Ukraine is putting up a fight. Can they hold off? Can they defeat the enemy? I mean, this is a time for them and us and everybody involved is praying for Ukraine, pray for the safety of the people, but pray for the Lord to send his angels, as we prayed yesterday, send his angels before them to guide them as they become obedient. And look, small little battles can lead to bigger battles as they gain confidence, they gain wisdom, and as they're learning how to fight against the Russians in these military battles and calling reservists up, civilians, arming them, training them. It's gonna take everyone involved for Ukraine to hold off. And will it be enough to hold off against Russia in this time as NATO now is only putting in sanctions? Yes, you're seeing 70% of the world markets cut off Russia, but it's only up to a point. And this is what's interesting is we're seeing, oh, we're going to go right up to the point of actually hurting them. You know, Biden talks about how putting it on them and their tech sector from preventing them in the future from being able to advance their military mechanical capabilities. Great. That's awesome for the future. But what about for Ukraine right now? What about putting the SWIFT sanctions on, removing them from SWIFT? What about pulling back and not buying oil from them, which is we've been confirmed about? And that's kind of a huge thing that's being missed right now. Is we have this focus from the administration to supposedly not cause harm to the United States. And I understand that to a point with rising inflation and rising costs. But when you're talking about doing things that harm, you know, the Russian economy, that you say this is going on, we have to look at the possibility of putting sanctions on the energy sector and natural gas sector for Russia. And that's the one thing we're not doing. And the reason I bring this up is because President Biden, when asked about whether he's putting pressure on China and Russian allies to put pressure on Russia, his words, I want to pull this up to make sure I have this. His words were that anyone doing business with Russia now is, quote, stained by association, end quote, as he ducked this question. From a reporter. And I go back to this report from Breitbart, where a host from CBS Evening News asked Secretary of State Blinken, Russia's economy is fueled by gas and the U.S. is a consumer. So would the U.S. consider cutting off oil and gas purchases from Russia? So if Biden's saying the countries who do business with Russia are staying by association, that means us. Why? Like, this is where wisdom and the fear of the Lord need to come into the White House. Give them some form of wisdom. President Biden was all over the place yesterday, and to the extent to know how significant of a energy dependence we are upon Russia. Dan Crenshaw pointed out this yesterday, where he tweeted this and said, we import 595,000 barrels of oil from Russia per day. If we were to have the Keystone Pipeline in effect and it were to be up fully running and finished, we would be producing 830 barrels of oils per day. So relying upon Russia is just disastrous, especially in this time. And this is why Russia, I've been saying, and I said this yesterday, the sanctions being put on Russia right now do no harm to their economy. They are very heavily dependent upon fuel and natural gas, oil and natural gas. And so if you're going to put sanctions on all these other markets that they're really not significantly heavily involved in, but the one where they heavily rely upon and you heavily need them to be supplying you with the rest of Europe and everything, and you're not going to sanction them on that, and what we could do as a nation is produce enough oil to be able to help these nations out, a lot of it falls short. And this is where Russia and Putin are calling the bluff. They're calling the bluff of this administration, and this is where we need prayer for this administration. Intercede that they have the fear of the Lord, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia on Ukraine, China on Taiwan, that the Lord would just come in and miraculously cause them to listen to them. And our focus for this administration is on the wrong things. If you saw this video yesterday from John Kerry, a couple days ago, it came out that he is concerned with what's going on in Ukraine, that Russia will lose sight of having emissions consequences, of losing focus of the climate change agenda. Look, that's the wrong place to put our focus right now. Russia does not care. They do not care. They are bombarding the citizens of Ukraine, the buildings, hospitals, some homes, farmlands, industrial complexes all around the region. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories going on out there. And I would suggest please, please, please hold off on fully putting your trust in them, because a lot of them just do not make sense. And watch as time goes on that they be exposed, and that the truth comes out. This is where being sober, being patient, waiting for the truth to come out is the best thing possible. And a major, major reason to pray for the office of the president is because yesterday some of the comments made by Joe Biden contradict what both Kamala Harris and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan have been saying. And what needs to happen is they need to come together and put on a unified front. Number one rule of public relations is to put on a number one front and to not be disjointed when you talk and interact with the public. They teach you that in public relations and business and communication school. Because I've been through these classes, I've been through this stuff. It is number one, being on the same face is the number one thing. And when he contradicts her of saying, well, the sanctions wouldn't have actually prevented this, even though Kamala Harris said so, and so did Jake Sullivan, he's right to a point, but it's like they need to come together. They're disjointed. There's something going on. Obviously, we understand the spirits that are behind that, the disunity behind that. If you serve the house that serves two masters, will not be able to survive in the long run, as Jesus tells us. So there needs to be some type of wisdom. Something needs to happen in the White House where humility comes in, people lay down their personal agendas, listen to the wisdom of the Lord, have the fear of the Lord, so that we can hear what the Lord's wisdom would be for us. Is that to get involved? Is that not to get involved? I'm not suggesting either. I'm saying let's listen to what the Lord would have us do in this season. So that's the prayers we need to be praying. Also, You've seen Lauren Bobart out of Colorado and Josh Hawley out of Missouri are saying now that when they come back next week, they're going to put forward immediate actions on the possibility of getting us energy independent to help out these countries, to help out the world, because that makes Russia lose its power. That also lowers the price of gas. That does what Blinken says he wants to do, of preventing pain for the U.S. economy. And so hopefully that's able to happen. Hopefully somebody within the administration is able to see that, see the wisdom of what the reality of what's going on, and do something about it, because they're in the position to take action, to be the hands and feet for this nation, to prevent these economic pains from going on. And look, if they don't, let's pray it's an awakening for the American people to realize that being energy independent is actually a good thing for the United States. So we want to repent for the lawlessness, because there's lawlessness going on in and around this issue with this Biden administration, and intercede for brave hearts to arise within the administration to get the U.S. back to energy independence. And that's what it's going to need. It's going to need those within the White House, within the administration, even the media, to stand up and say, why aren't we doing this? We have this capability. We can produce it cleaner, better than Russia, China, and all these other countries are producing it. And to sit here and say that these sanctions work, even though they don't actually harm and do the intended events that you would want to Russia and their allies, it's a buck short. So we want to pray for that wisdom as we head into this weekend. Know that this is a battle. Even Chuck Pierce with Daniel Pierce's Dream talked about, we're in a battle, we're in a fight now. And so it's a time to engage, as we see in scripture, getting in that timeline with the Lord of Joshua 3:1, preparing ourselves and asking the Lord to prepare our hearts as we go into this new season, into this new land, knowing that it's not just going to be all rainbows, flowers, and unicorns in the days ahead. It's going to take us to engage, be spiritually mature, be spiritually and naturally sober about these issues now and in the days ahead. So blessings. Don't forget, we'll be back today at noon, closing out the week. We have a few interviews, hopefully from people on the ground in Ukraine. Trying to get Julia on the line, depending on how the internet connection is. We'll see, and a couple other people. So we're working on that today, hopefully to bring you an updated report then. But with that, thank you to everyone for following along. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to stand on the wall and praying for wisdom to enter into this White House, even if we agree or disagree with this president, that they have the fear of the Lord on these issues and in other issues in the days ahead. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.